a tremendous degree of power and habit. I think that, I don't know, maybe our culture, something about our culture, I don't know what it is, but we have a truly negative connotation when we assign it to habit. If you talk to a group of people and you ask them what their habits are, I'm sure the majority of them will recite something negative, right? I curse a lot. I smoke too much. I drink on the weekends. Like, I eat bad food, but habits can be tremendously powerful when they're in your benefit. And I purposely created some habits to make sure I got to what I wanted to do. Like, I created them all the time.
Welcome back. I just want to get right into the episode here. We have a lot of value with Anthony. But I want to leave everybody with a mission that we're on. Before the end of November, we want to be at 100 views. We know we have a lot of listeners that have yet to go through and do that. And if there's any price for this podcast, that is it. We grow by the grace of you. And if you could just go through, share with a friend, show some love, 5-star with a little bit of written review, that would be wonderful. We're looking at growing our audience and the impact that we can make here. Thanks so much. We love you. And let's get it.
We are back in the building with another episode of the Dedication to Excellence podcast. I'm your host, Eugene Tamanpost, alongside my co-host and the brains of the operation, Dustin Reyna. What's up with you, baby?
Man, it's been a day. It's been a day. It's good. I'm excited to dive in to Anthony over here. We're going to have an amazing podcast today, brother.
Yeah, man. Is this our first? This is our second podcast of the day. Is this our first doubleheader that we've pulled?
Yeah, so far we've actually got a couple. Even tomorrow's a double day.
Oh, man, we out here getting it. Let's go. So for those of you listening for the first time, the purpose of this podcast is to not just inspire and motivate, but to give you real actionable steps and operational strategies from high achievers who have done the things we'll be discussing with them. Because once you're excited and motivated, folks, guess what? You actually got to go and do some shit. So today's guest is a professional bodybuilder and 3-time Olympian and has leveraged that to build a dope fitness brand. He's a sponsored athlete for Live Fit Apparel, one of the hottest apparel lines out right now. And he's also a trainer and lifestyle coach. And he's not just hella buff. But the first time we met, I was impressed to learn that this gentleman is also one of the most well-spoken and mindful individuals I've ever had a chance to have a conversation with. He's actually on the verge of launching his own podcast, rightfully titled the More Than Muscle Podcast. My bro, Anthony Woods, a.k.a. A. Woody with a hoodie. Hey. Welcome to the show, bro.
Damn, man, that's a hell of an introduction, man. I don't even know how to follow that up. I appreciate you guys, you know, making the time to speak with me, and I'm honored, truly honored, man.
Of course, man, of course. It's been too long, bro. This is really just going to be me and a homie catching up, so run off for taking the time. You're still in NorCal, right?
Actually, man, I'm spending a lot of time in Orange County. I've been in Newport for going on about like 3.5 months now. I've been kind of back and forth from Vegas to Newport. My family, my parents are in Vegas, so it's been kind of going back and forth and trying to be all places at once, you know?
Okay, so I left SoCal, and then you were like, the coast is clear. Let me go and head down. I see how it is. That's cool.
You have some big shoes to fill.
Right on, bro. Well, I know you and I go back a little bit, but for those of you who don't know who Anthony Woods is, why don't you go ahead and take us back to the beginning of the journey, bro? What was your upbringing like, and what was it like before you were super buff? Or were you always buff? Oh, shit.
Well, man, so I'm from Tracy, California. Well, I was born in Stockton. I grew up a lot of my early adolescence in Tracy, California, the smaller suburb, a little bit south of Sacramento. And I was normally a very introverted kid. I played around a lot. I was very playful, but internally, I just was really lost. I was searching for a lot of things. I was dealing with a lot of depression and certain things I didn't really know how to get a hold of. I stumbled upon fitness and psychology at the same time. I had a teacher that I actually had a crush on in high school. She had to be teaching psychology, whatever she was teaching, I was going to be in the class. I didn't care what it was. But first day of school, she was mentioning some things, and I identified with it right away. It sounded like something I would identify with, and I stuck to it. And psychology just was something I dived into as a means to figure out who I was and how to dissect the different thoughts and behavior patterns that I had. And so that I could better understand myself, and it means to give the people around me the best version of myself I could. Psychology seemed to be the key to opening that door.
And that came before the fitness?
At the same time.
At the same time.
Yeah. I was an athletic kid, and that gave me a way to hide how introverted I was. I was playing basketball, and that was a way for me to blend in. I could socialize by way of just talking about sports, talking about girls. I didn't necessarily have to be to talk about things that were in my mind. I can kind of hide behind my athleticism by way of the team. So basketball was dope. I was good at it. I wasn't necessarily passionate about it, but I was good for the time being. I got to college. And then in college, college sports is a different beast. Everyone's good in college. So I didn't necessarily possess the passion needed, you know, to blossom in college sports in that way. I just didn't care enough. I didn't love basketball enough. There were some cats that loved basketball and I just wasn't one of those people. And I respected that. And so I just realized that when I was practicing with my team and training with my team, as soon as that was over, I'd be right at 24. I'd ride at any gym I could get to, and I would train the way that I wanted to train. And it just was more of a, not even necessarily more of, but it was an absolute art form for me. It wasn't necessarily to compete with any person. It was just a way of transferring a lot of the information that I know from nutrition and exercise by being an athlete, and then just understanding the nature of food and how you can use food as a fuel in a way to combine the two, to put clay where you want to put clay and reduce clay where you want to reduce clay and create something that you want to create for yourself. And that was what I realized I could do with fitness and training, and identified a lot with comic books and the things I was learning as a kid and things I was really diving into. I could kind of look and try to create the guys that I liked and the guys that I saw in the books. And that's kind of what fitness was for me.
That's awesome, bro. So you really got into fitness. Did you know immediately that it was going to be your career path, that it was going to be a profession for you, or was it just a hobby? That what did you think you were going to be doing long term, as opposed to what you ended up doing with your fitness journey?
You know, so first answer your question, absolutely not. I had no idea that I'd be, I still don't necessarily consider this a career. I'm having fun, man. I'm having a blast. It's hard for me to consider it that. I really didn't know. Growing up, I knew that I wanted to work with people, but I was extraordinarily introverted and I didn't really understand how to bridge the gap in between the two. Human behavior, why people do what they do, human beings' thought patterns, belief systems, those types of things are extraordinarily intriguing. I watch people all the time. I study what people do and why. It's one of the reasons why I like interacting with people as a trainer and as, you know, a fitness instructor and things like that. But I wasn't really sure. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, but basketball was all I could think of until I got to college. That's all I was going to do. I didn't dive into drugs. I didn't really dive into anything at all. I didn't drink at all until I got to college. My first drink was at my college recruit, Jared Jungworth. If you ever hear this, I appreciate you. He gave me my first drink. He gave me a cocktail. He asked me, "You want a cocktail?" I was like, "What is that exactly?" Yeah, I didn't know exactly what it was, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. But basketball was all I could think about until I hit that wall. And I realized, like, these guys are serious about basketball and I'm just here having a good time. Like, this is a different thing, you know what I'm saying? I respected that, but I wasn't sure. I really wasn't sure. Still not really sure, man. I'm having fun, to be honest.
You're having fun, man, but you have turned it into something successful, bro. So at what point did you say to yourself, like, yo, this is, I'm having fun, but this is actually turning into something that can sustain me as an adult to, you know, put food on the table?
Sure, sure. So it was one of those transitions where you don't really know it's a transition until it's already over. You guys ever had any of those? Where there's some kinds of those transitions where you put forth effort into forcing that transition, that transition to become reality, right? Like, I was posting something on Instagram today about people calling you delusional when you speak about some of the things you aspire to achieve until you actually put forth whatever it's necessary to bring that delusion into a reality, right? There are those kinds of those goals, but you know, this was kind of top down where I didn't realize what took place until it was already over with in a way. I like to describe it like there's people who like to swim, right? Let's picture this. There's a guy who just likes to swim. He jumps in, he wants to swim all the way across. He wants to get to Catalina Island or whatever he's trying to get to. He's swimming. He's not necessarily keeping track of his distance, his speed, how long he's holding his breath. He's just going because for the sake of the swim.
Sure.
For the sake of the stroke. That's it. He's not necessarily trying to get anywhere. He's just trying to go. And he ends up poking his head up and he's at Catalina. That's kind of the way that this took place. I didn't necessarily keep any metrics. I didn't really keep track of anything I was trying to achieve. I was kind of just going and accepting, you know, a lot of the, I could say blessings, but accepting the opportunities that were coming my way because I felt I was at the right place, at the right time, around the right people, putting out the right energy. And then those things kind of came back. You know what I'm saying?
So it sounds like you were just focused on being very present and at your best in the moment. And when you do that, you attract the right circumstances and opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I wasn't that clairvoyant ahead of the time, like back then, like I wish I was, you know, but honestly, my father asked me a long time ago what I wanted to do when I was younger. I wasn't sure. And he told me, man, why don't you figure out what you would do for free? Like, figure out what you would do for absolutely nothing, and then figure out a way to do that for the rest of your life. And I laughed at it. I wasn't quite sure what that meant. I was too young to necessarily get that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I went through a ton of stages, like everyone does. I was, you know, got in a little bit of trouble. I had lots of different stages. But no matter what the stage I was in, no matter where I was in the country, no matter if I was incarcerated, if I was free, if I was in trouble, if I had money, if I had kids, no matter what was going on, this was one constant thing. I was always in the position to work out. And it wasn't even something I was doing on purpose. It was kind of like how you drive home from work every day, but you end up in your driveway, but you don't notice that you didn't hit anybody or run a red light or miss a turn signal. You didn't, you know, like, I was at the gym every day since I was 13. I didn't really notice I was at the gym every day since I was 13 until I got to 30 years old. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things where I was just like, damn, I've gone like almost every day of my life since I was 12 and 13 years old. It's like that. It was like that.
So you built the habit and let the habit carry you to where you are.
I truly believe there's a tremendous degree of power and habit. I think that, I don't know, maybe our culture, something about our culture, I don't know what it is, but we have a truly negative connotation when we assign it to habit. If you talk to a group of people and you ask them what their habits are, I'm sure the majority of them will recite something negative, right? Mm-hmm. I curse a lot. I smoke too much. I drink on the weekends. Like, I eat bad food, but habits can be tremendously powerful when they're in your benefit. And I purposely created some habits to make sure I got to what I wanted to do. Like, I created them all the time. I have some friends that, you know, have been behind bars for a period of time, and I keep in contact with them. And I remember one of their first letters. It was very, very dark. It was very gloomy and depressing, as we would imagine. But as these letters continue, seems like home, they're more and more comfortable, less and less tears on the page, less and less ink is running, and they've adapted, right? And so I use that analogy because human beings possess a tremendous ability to adapt to almost anything physically and also psychologically. We can adapt to trauma and make it normal. We can adapt to anything, right? So you can adapt to the things that would make us better. We can adapt to the things that would make us smarter. We can adapt to the processes that would make us a better parent. And so I think that most of us, if we do some of the work and we figure out some of those steps, we can implement those strategically and do so like almost inevitably. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. So what are some of those habits that you've adapted over the years that you've been consistent besides going to the gym every day since you were 12?
I just started a new one. It's really important. I just started like meditating every day, like every single morning, journaling every day. Those types of things, I think, they're my way. I can't speak for anyone but myself, but I've noticed that I'm a giver. I didn't notice that until met some people that kind of explained it to me in a different fashion, but I appreciate giving my energy to people that appreciate my energy. I give to you, I give to Dustin, I give to all, I wake up in the morning and I'm just excited to speak to people and give my best to people. But that only happens when I have my best to give to people, right? Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. a long time ago, I started doing my training partner, one of my best friends, Katie, we train every single day, and I needed some time to myself to kind of get my day going. So what I started doing was going to the gym around 5 o'clock in the morning by myself and kind of doing some stretching and getting my head together. No one's really there in the morning. And if you're in the gym at 5 a.m., you're working. You know what I'm saying? You're not in there playing around at 5 a.m. That population of people inspired me to be there early. So I would go there and kind of move and kind of do like an active meditation for myself. And that was a process that what I realized what I was doing, I would leave the gym that early. I was flowing with endorphins. I felt good. I told myself the night before I'd wake up early and go to the gym. So I was fulfilling a promise I made to myself, which to me is a serious formula for building confidence, right? Mm-hmm. I'd leave that gym. I'd be high as a kite on endorphins all day long. I was then my best self for every human being that I was encountering. And that's my principle, my morals. I feel like the people I speak to, they deserve me at my best, right? And it's my responsibility to then do the work, to then provide my best to the people around me. You know, that was the habit that I started. And it was really, 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 really dope. It was like one of the dopest things I did for a long time. And I squatted every day when I was doing that. And I grew tremendously in that process. Gains all day. You know?
Gains all day. I love that philosophy, though. You got to make sure that you're taking care of yourself in order to give your best to others. And that's something that I see a lot of people neglect to do. They think that the change is external first, but really the change has to start within. So yeah. That's beautiful to hear.
I learned that later in life, though. I didn't learn that. Like, I'm learning this now, 34 years old. I'm learning to begin to put myself first in some regards, so then I can put the people I care for right after that, you know?
Yes, sir. So when did the bodybuilding journey kick off? When did you decide that you were going to be an Olympian, and what was that process like?
That's an interesting way to ask that. Well, so I was training in the gym, like I said, since I was younger. I emulated everything I saw. Lee Priest, Dorian Yates, Chris Cormier, all these guys, Sean Ray, these people, I emulated how you would have kids that were playing basketball and they would like stick their tongue out like Jordan used to do.
That was me.
I noticed, but yeah, all these 80s babies know what's up. Like Jordan used to Jordan had a move. He stuck his tongue out. And you played basketball, you pretended like you were Jordan, you do that move. In that same fashion, I would like watch Sean Roden do a lat pull down, and I'd emulate the way he moved his elbows. I'd emulate the way he contracted. I'd watch, I think I watched Sean Ray had one of the best videos I'd watch on YouTube. He'd do a certain kind of lunge, and Kai Greene had a certain way of doing a Jefferson squat. I would just emulate these people, and that was my way of kind of molding my craft. So I would go to the shows and emulate or watch the shows as just like an art form, watching the masters 45 and up guys come out, living their best life, 55, 65 years old. Those kinds of things inspired me. So I'd go to these shows and people would ask when I was going to compete again in your next show. And I'd never competed before. I had no interest in, and I had no intention of competing. I didn't want to. It wasn't something.
So you were just there strictly as a fan of the sport.
Oh, absolutely. Like I honestly was just there just to be inspired by the people that were doing the things that I'd like to do. They clearly exercises like I did. They do pull-ups, they do, you know, lat raises and lat pull downs and things like that. So I was just going as a fan. And what's the story? It was the San Francisco show. Can't remember the year. I think it was 2016. And I was just going as a fan. I was talking to a buddy of mine named Omar Ventura, who happens to be one of the best coaches in the world. I was talking to him. He was trying to convince me that I should give it a shot. And actually what I did was I looked at the people on the stage and I looked at Omar and I was like, man, these guys on stage, they don't have children like I have. I had two sons at the time. I had one son on the way. Phoenix wasn't born yet. But these guys don't have the responsibilities that I have. And these guys don't have, you know, the types of stresses that I have. And Omar Ventura, you know, put his hand on my chest and was like, wait a minute. That guy right there is a firefighter. That guy right there has two sets of twins. This dude, he was going through letting me know in a way, you know, if you're going to do it, you know, you need to go ahead and do it. But you're making excuses and that's not going to be acceptable was essentially what he was saying. So right then and there, you know, I kind of sat back a little bit and I watched a buddy of mine named Armand, who won his overall. I didn't know him at the time, but he won this show. His brother was his coach. I met his brother and we were off to the races after that. I met Ariel, me and his cuts on Instagram.
Yep.
And we started competing after that. He asked me when I wanted to start. I said, tomorrow. I said, tomorrow. And we had a 22 week prep for my very first contest. And I won the entire show, which is all I wanted to do was just not get embarrassed. I remember being on the treadmill every single morning and just telling myself, dude, just don't get smoked. Just don't get smoked. Just don't get smoked. And I go up there and I'm tremendously grateful to win that show. I get off the stage and he goes, what do you want to do next? I said, man, whatever you want to do. What do you think? He goes, you ever been to Chicago? Never been to Chicago. And he goes, let's do it. Let's do let's do Junior Nationals. And I think it's Junior Nationals or Junior USA. Excuse me from which one it is. Pardon me from forgetting, but he goes, let's do it. I said, when's that? And he goes, they got about 12 weeks. I'm like, when do I start? He goes, start tomorrow. So that day I started my next diet and we were on for another 12 weeks. And we did that for a year. I competed for an entire year, like back to back to back to back. And that's kind of going what I was saying, where I didn't necessarily know that I was going to compete for a year, but I was just having a good time. And we get off stage and he'd go, hey man, that was dope. What do you want to do next? You know?
What's that process like, man? Because I've never trained prep for a show, like mentally, physically, like what is that routine like? Because you're already in a routine of taking care of your mind and taking care of your body physically. Like what changed in the process?
I was only in a process. I was only in a routine of working out and kind of doing what I saw, mimicking some things, but I didn't necessarily understand the method to the madness. I didn't understand the science behind it. Each contest preparation period is a bit different. Your body's in a different period, a different place. Your life's usually in a different place. But the first one is a very interesting process. I was freaking out. It's very hard to eat that amount of food. It's a ton of mind over matter. Is this what you want to do? And remembering why, you know, you signed up for this. And for me, I cringe when I hear people complain about contest prep. You know, it's, I understand that it's hard. It's one of those things that's truly a difficult thing, but it's also an option. It's a choice. And for me, that was what set me apart. When people my mindset apart from the depression of getting in the prep, is people get depressed from that. So someone would say, can you have this pizza? Instead of saying, I can't have that pizza, which would be a lie because I could have the pizza. I'm an adult and I can eat whatever I want. I would just say, I'm choosing not to do that right now. I'm doing something that's more important than the pizza for now, right? And that was my way of kind of keeping my internal dialogue in check, of not telling myself what I can't do. Because I don't know a single human being that's an adult that likes to be told what they can't do. It just completely brings the behavior almost to a negative light. I can have what I want. I'm choosing right now to control what I'm putting in my face. Yeah.
So
that's the way to talk about it to myself.
So it sounds like you were so mentally strong, you kind of just coasted through prep. But I'm sure there was some moments where you were close to breaking and you had to talk yourself out of it. Can you walk us through some of those?
Oh, man. If I'm making it seem like it was a breeze, it was not a breeze. What I'm saying is allowing myself to know that it was a choice makes things easier. It's almost like getting a tattoo. Like a tattoo could almost be torturous if you didn't want it to happen, you know? But if you wanted what's left over, you might sit 6 hours for that, right? There was a period where I can't remember if it was my first Olympia or my second. I want to say it was my second. There is a bodybuilder by the name of Kevin Lavroni. And Kevin Lavroni's been known for like kind of going kind of strange with his diet and going like nothing but fish for a long period of time, nothing but fish and fats. And I think it was my sixth show that year. And usually when you peak your body for contest prep, it's a difficult thing to replicate that look over and over and over again. It gets more and more difficult each time. And so usually you have to kind of pull some things. You got to get creative with your nutrition to kind of figure out a way to replicate that look each time you get on stage. It's like drying clay once it's dry and then trying to heat it up, trying to wet it and like get it molded again and then dry it again and then like getting it wet. It's hard to do that over and over. So I say that to say the means that my coach and I, what we did was usually we go keto, which is, you know, no carbs, which is proteins and fats. But for this period, I think it was about 2 weeks, we went no carbs and no fats at all. So it was just proteins. And so I woke up in the morning and I had an hour of cardio on an empty stomach, which is fasted. And then I would go downstairs and have 11 egg whites. And then I would go to the gym and I would try to train on fumes. And then I would have another hour of cardio. And then I would go home and have tilapia. It was like 7 or 8 ounces of tilapia. And that was pretty much my meal. If I remember correctly, it was just a very strict diet. And I remember honestly having to talk myself through each step on the Stairmaster, just trying to commit my mind to making sure that my knee lifted up and making sure that my foot hit the platform. That's all I could think about each time. Like, I wasn't worried about how much time I had left over. I wasn't worried about how tired I was or the contest or even what my name was. It was just make sure the knee is lifted and his foot hits this platform. Make sure this knee is lifted. Make sure this foot, like, that was the process for about 45 minutes straight. Super rough. That was rough.
The mind is capable of some pretty amazing things.
Oh, absolutely. It's a tremendous thing. If you can control it and allow it to work for you, and you can, not to say it was the healthiest thing, but I absolutely was in control, you know, I was absolutely in control.
I'd like to know, what are some guilty pleasures that were just so tempting sometimes you just had to exit the room?
Oh man, let's see. Okay, so truthfully, I'm gonna say this first. Truthfully, I'm not a foodie. Like, I just don't have like that kind of emotional attachment to food. Sometimes I wish I did. I wish I could enjoy it the way I see some people enjoy it. But having kids and watching your little kids waste food is like, amazing. Like, I just wanted like a handful of Cheez-Its sometimes, you know, like just a handful, or like my kids love those Capri Suns, stuff like that. Like, just, oh, yeah. What I would do for a PB&J, just an old school ass, nothing special, man. Just throw some PB on that shit. I just want it. And having my kids like eat a little bit and like leave it on the plate, I'm just like, dude, if you don't eat that, eat the whole thing, just that kind of thing. Yeah. That was rough.
That's awesome, man. So would you say that your psychological training has played just as important role in this whole process as your commitment to fitness? Because I mean, there's a lot of people out there who are into fitness, but I feel like what has given you the edge is you've also focused just as much on the mindset behind it.
Yeah, I think, well, for me, it's hard to answer that, but for me, the fitness is the psychological part for me. Like I literally have learned some things in the gym that have taught me how to conduct myself outside of the gym. Like I practice, for example, I like to talk about like self-talk. Like your internal dialogue to me is something that can be like your biggest asset, your biggest friend, your biggest ally in life, how you speak to yourself, the way that you encourage yourself or lack thereof. And so I understand that in life is, I truly believe this, my perspective is there's few things you can actually control. You can't control the weather, can't control how people feel about you, can't control a lot of different things, but you can always control your effort, your individual effort. Mm-hmm. And when I train, I'm honestly just, I said, no pun, but I'm exercising the memory of I can control what I can control, nothing more, nothing less. And that's some of the things that's one of the virtues that I like to remember. I remember that in the gym. It's a practice that I remember in the gym.
That's awesome, bro. Back to the prep period for getting ready for a bodybuilding show again, because I find this fascinating because I've never done it. Maybe I should just so I can experience it. And, if you know any good coaches, let me know. But so every time I hear somebody going through this prep, I feel like I'm hearing the weirdest things. Like, yeah, I had 12 egg whites for breakfast and then some 7-8 ounces tilapia. Sure. Who determines that? How do you figure that shit out? Like, can you dissect that science a little bit? I mean, sure. I know that's why a good coach is important, but like, what is your method to evaluating somebody?
Sure. Well, I mean, well, for my coach, we had a lot of different trials and errors, not even really errors, but just trying and figuring out what foods work for different people. Some foods bloat people. Some foods kind of, you know, dehydrate people. You know, we have macronutrients, we have micronutrients as well. We also have like, you know, hormonal responses to foods, food allergic reactions to foods. You know, lots of different foods respond differently to people. In bodybuilding, foods are tools. Your food is a tool. That's all. It's not supposed to taste great. You know, if you need a crescent wrench, you go grab a crescent wrench. That's exactly what's needed for this application, right? So for us, we needed egg whites. That's what was necessary for the application. My coach and I, we're a team. You know, he calls the plays, I run them. I don't necessarily question them, but I understand that egg whites and tilapia are very, you know, low fat foods, and we needed a high protein, low fat diet. The measurements, you know, he works with that. And I check with my coach every day when we're in contest prep, and he makes those adjustments literally every 2 hours or every 24 hours. I'm sorry. I check up with them every morning, and we make those adjustments every morning. So
he can just look at you and say, hey, we need to change this in the diet. Is that how?
Let me tell you the true story. Very first contest prep, I was nervous. I think I was like 2 weeks out of my first show. I was in a very stressful state. I was around a bunch of I was in a place where I just couldn't rest. My hormones were going crazy. You know, when you stress out and you don't sleep, you have a hormone called cortisol. Cortisol raises, that's your stress hormone, right? So obviously I didn't sleep all that great. I woke up the next morning. He looks at me in a photo. He calls me immediately and he goes, what time did you go to bed last night? And I'm like, huh? And he goes, you didn't get much sleep? Have you been arguing? You doing okay? Like he just started grilling me within like just from a photo for the night before and the next day. Yeah, you could definitely tell. Absolutely.
That's insane, bro.
That's a true story.
Shout out to Cuts, man. This is why Cuts is killing the game right now.
I do my best. You know, I've gotten busier as the years have gone on, with business and things like that. So I do my best. But please believe, when I slip, he is absolutely aware. He's absolutely aware.
That's why the importance of mentors is you can never understate that.
Dude, you said it. Always a student. Always a student. I learn something every single day, nonstop.
Love it. Let's transition a bit. So you've built a name for yourself being an Olympic bodybuilder, and I'm guessing that's what kind of got you all the attention and maybe the following and the base and whatnot. So you've gone on to successfully leverage that into other endeavors. Let's start talking about some of the business moves you've made ever since, you know, building a bit of a platform for yourself in the bodybuilding scene. Like how did the brand deals come to be, and just kind of talk us through some of those.
Sure. You know, that's a that's a topic that like I love to discuss because it's one of the things I'm honestly kind of mesmerized myself. It wasn't anything that I orchestrated, which is what I always tell someone whenever someone asks me about those kinds of questions about business and brand deals and sponsorships and anything even regarding social media and anything speaking to any platform. Authenticity, just be yourself. Like if you're for my personal experience, I happen to just try my best to put out the best energy as possible and the best authentic energy as possible. And when you give that out, I feel like the right ears hear that, the right people come to that, and the right people are attracted to that. And anything that's fraudulent is very clearly fraudulent. And the people that recognize fraudulence, they see that, you know?
Absolutely. So what was like one of the first opportunities that came to you that you took advantage of?
So when I did my first contest, I kept a secret. A lot of reasons. I was super insecure. I was very nervous. But I also understood that this is like understanding people. When you tell someone something you want to do, you automatically invite, you know, their opinion. Mm-hmm. They'll tell you what they think, whether or not you invited it or not intentionally. Mm-hmm. So, hey, I think I'm going to get glasses. Oh, you should get these. Oh, really? What kind? Like, I personally, I knew this process was going to be internal. And so I chose to keep it a secret. But I told a couple of people. And one of the people I told someone who told another person who owns a clothing brand called Blown Gear. And a guy named Isaac Helm, who I met way before I'd ever thought about. This is during the period where I was going to the show.
Wait, hold up. What did you say what that secret was, or did I miss that part?
What's that?
You said you told a couple people a secret, or you had
I told the people that I was doing a contest.
Oh, got it. Okay.
You
kept it a secret. That's what you said.
I didn't want to tell anyone. Yeah, I didn't want to tell anybody. I didn't want anyone to tell me what they thought. I just wanted to just tunnel vision this up.
Sure.
And so I told a couple people I trusted. And one guy let it slip. Not a big deal, but he let it slip. And he told it. And it got back to a guy named Isaac Helm, who's a very good friend of mine. Shout out to Isaac. And he owned a clothing line, very old school, very respected clothing line in Northern California called Blown Gear. And so I knew Isaac from during the period where I was just going to these expos just as a fan. I had my sons. I was just going as a fan, and I met him as the owner. I didn't know that he was the owner, and kind of just had a good rapport, kept in contact. Years later, I get a phone call. I'm in the movies. Isaac Helm calls me. I see the phone. I step. Shout out to the movies. Remember the movies? God dang. Anyway.
Yeah, I remember. Anyways,
God dang it. Remember the popcorn?
Back in the day.
So, okay.
Back in the day.
Back in the day, last year. So I see the phone call. I run out. Isaac is a respected buddy of mine. I call him and he goes, "Hey man, I heard a secret. I heard you're in a contest. How would you like it if I sponsored your clothing?" And so that was the first opportunity I had. And that was maybe like 8 weeks before my first contest.
Nice. And then what ended up happening with that? Are you still partnered with them? Affiliated?
Oh no, that was I think we partnered for maybe like 6 months or so. It wasn't anything super, how do I say? It wasn't anything
like long-term deal. It was
But it was my first, my very first experience with working with a brand, understanding what they wanted from me, representing something bigger than myself, other than a team. It was our sports team. It was just a different feeling for me. I was understanding that I could maybe do something with this. And it was my first opportunity representing something with my physique. That was my first time.
And then from that point forward, did you become a little bit more intentional about seeking opportunities like this, or did that just kind of open up the floodgates for more people to approach you?
I'm trying to think for a sec.
I guess what I'm trying to figure out is, what is the Anthony Woods business model? Because you built a dope platform and it looks like you're having a great time.
Man, I don't, you know what? I hope I don't disappoint anybody when I say this, but I'm honestly, the only thing I purposely do intentionally, this is the truth, is I purposely just try to give out the most positive energy I possibly can. Like if you ask anybody that knows me personally, that's what I try to do. I can't necessarily say I plan these things, but if I want to represent a brand, it has to be a feeling where I can align with what they represent. I have to know that it's who I am. It's representative of me. The value is mutual. It has to feel right. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you, bro. No, it makes absolute sense. I mean, when you focus on the right things and you focus on putting the right things out there, the universe is an echo and it's just going to come back, you know, 10, 100 fold. So Yeah, no, that really, it's like I'm searching for the more complicated answer, but really,
I want to give you one. Give me something, I'm trying to answer it right for you.
But that's beautiful, bro. I mean, if it truly is that simple, like focus on being the best version of you and putting the best out into the world, and good things will come back to you. I mean, that's really a whole formula right there.
Well, I'll say this: there are times where, you know, you want to put forth some plan, right? Some idea of direction where you want to go. And there are times where I've done that. And I definitely do that to this day. It's a little wider. I have bumper plates on my lanes, if you know what I mean. But the most remarkable experiences I've had thus far have seriously come from a fork in the road that I can look back at in hindsight, where I can say, I could have turned away and said, I don't have the time to talk to this person right now. I'm going through something. Or let me be the person I'd want to be talking to. Right. Mm-hmm. Or let me be the person that I think that this person needs right now, or in some fashion. And somehow, in some way, that person ends up being an opportunity, or that person ends up leading me or teaching me something or showing me something or an experience that has opened some doors psychologically or even emotionally for me where I wouldn't have experienced that otherwise. And that's where I say, I just attribute a lot of the things I'm fortunate to or fortunate from, it's just being a little more aware of who I am and wanting to put out the best energy I can no matter what every single day.
Love it, man. Talk us through some of that, because you are a coach, so you do work with a lot of people who come to you for advice, and I'm sure it starts with fitness, but as much knowledge as you've obtained over the years, I'm sure you've really helped people through a lot of their other challenges in life. Like, walk us through what your mindset is when I'm coming to you as a client saying, hey, Aunt Woods, these are my goals, like, what do I do? Like, how are you approaching that?
That's a hard question. Man, I love these questions, man. First things first, I understand that when you're training a person, you're training the person. And I just like to connect with people. I'm a really difficult person to offend. I don't judge anyone in any way for any reason. I've had some pretty interesting jobs where I've been exposed to certain walks of life where I just don't judge anyone. So I'm always eager to learn the person, learn their why. They say learn their why, but honestly, learn the motor. I learn to understand what's going on with them, because usually it's something that's internal. It's not a physical thing for the most part. And so, you know, just being vulnerable with them and learning who the person is. And a lot of times people approach me with some type of, you know, I'm a human being, man, you know, so usually I like to give a little bit of vulnerability first and show that I'm a human. I bleed, I tie my shoes like everybody else does. And I most definitely have stresses too. And so usually that, you know, deflates a lot of the wall that they may be there potentially, and just figuring out who they are. And you, the physical stuff, the training I can do on a handstand underwater. So learning the person is easy. It's like, that's where I go to first.
Bro, I'm thinking back to when I was there, when you were doing the, your interview with EJ on the Parables. Shout out to EJ. Oh, yeah.
What's up, EJ?
Yeah. And I'm thinking back to, like, bro, I remember the first time I saw Anthony doing a podcast, thinking to myself, like, first of all, this dude's hella smart. Second of all, I feel like working out. So I'm kind of getting that feeling right now. Like, bro, I need to get on A. Woods level.
Oh, man. I appreciate you, dude.
Yeah, no, for sure. So walk me through the partnership with LiveFit, because LiveFit is an awesome brand. And I've looked up to Randall for a while now. So whenever I see you doing some stuff with him, I'm like, oh, that's super cool, man. So how did that come to be, and how are you managing that?
Of course. Shout out to Randall. So... again, this was probably 2014 or 15. I met Randall through a buddy of mine named Tori Woodward, who was Randall Pitch's very first athlete for LiftFit. So Randall Pitch was selling t-shirts out of his trunk, and offered a sponsorship to Tori. They linked up. I knew Tori from back then through some mutual friends. And so I met Randall at an expo as a fan. Like, I was a fan, no intentions of competing, absolutely no knowledge of what a sponsorship was. This is like when Instagram was like beginning to turn over. Like, it was a long time ago. FanFlex was still shaved head and still super yoked up. And I met him through Tori Woodward, and we just connected like minds, and we had good energy, had good combo. And anytime I would see Tori or see Randall, I'd make sure I would say what's up, and likewise. But like I said, nothing planned, nothing orchestrated. I just happened to jump into competing because I just wanted to give it a shot. Did pretty well in the first one. rode the wave until I figured out that, you know, maybe I can do this Olympia thing, and gave it a shot, and it worked out. I got an email for, or I got a phone call from Randall. He goes, "Hey man, I think I want to bring you along. Can you come down to Huntington?" And dropped everything I did and shot down there, and you know, the rest is history.
And how long has that been now?
It's been a little over a year.
That's all I got to do to be a lifted athlete. I just got to go be a Olympian real quick.
Man.
No. All right. So here's the roadmap, bro. I'm going to need you to train me.
Let's do it.
Go be an Olympian.
Let's do it.
So I can get me a brand deal. And I'm going to run the A Woods play, and we're going to get it popping.
Hey, man. This is the only thing I'll say. You just make sure it fulfills you. That's all. You know, anytime anybody approaches me with anything they want to do, I got a lot of people that say, "Hey, I want to be a doctor. I really want to be a cardiologist." I go, "Awesome. You like school, right?" There's tons of people that will tell you they want to be, you know, at this, you know, this pinnacle or this mountaintop, and they don't even like climbing. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's deep.
I like training. I like training more than I like competing. I like training more than I like the Olympia. I like working out more than I like medals, more than I like trophies, more than I like Instagram, more like I like climbing.
You love the process.
I like climbing. I got there because I like climbing. If you don't like climbing, like, you know, you gotta like climb. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you got a goal, if you got your goal, and you can kind of dissect the processes necessary to make that goal a reality or hopefully an inevitability, like, you gotta like the work. If you don't like the work, the goal is a dream. Really, you know?
Exactly, man. So speaking of process, what other things do you have in process? I know that you also have other deals, right? I think I saw something on your Instagram page. You're endorsing not a supplement brand, but the other thing you got a discount code for up there.
Oh, I got, I'm all about like music. Music is a very, very big deal for me. I don't really do much without it. And so I got these dope ass deal with Beat Kicks, constantly changing up the little styles on my headphones. I'm sweating all the day on my beats. I'm sweating constantly. So got hooked up with those and constantly rocking different ones. And that's a dope deal. I enjoy that. I enjoy music.
How many of these come across your table, like these offers to do things, and what's your process like for evaluating who you partner with?
So I get offers here and there. You know, I get offers here and there. And the first thing, you know, that I like to assess is this something that I feel like I identify with? Can I be authentic with this? Would I use this? Have I used this? And do I feel confident standing behind this? And do I feel confident that this company can represent Ant Woods, you know, more importantly? And so, you know, I have to feel it. I have to have a good vibe, and have a good conversation with whoever is behind the social media management side of things.
Got you. What inspired the podcast, the More Than Muscle podcast?
Oh man, very cool question. Lots of things, dude, lots of things. I found a very comfortable place being the quiet dude that posts pictures and can write some things on Instagram. I like literacy, I enjoy reading, I enjoy speaking, but I definitely have a very private side. I keep a lot of the intricate and a lot of personal and a lot of the intimate things in my life to myself. And so I was invited to do a podcast, and I recognized that I listen to podcasts all the time, and I learn a lot from podcasts when my headphones are on, listening to tons of podcasts. So I was invited to do one, and I realized that I enjoyed speaking about the things that I was asked, but it was a way for me to step outside of my comfort zone. Yeah, absolutely. And I had a good feedback from it, and it was a good experience all the way around. It felt right. So yeah, it was just one of those things that I just felt like it was time to do. And I didn't know what theme to do. I didn't know what to do about it. I didn't know what to say, but I knew it had to be me. And I understand that. I understand what I appear. I understand that very well. I've worked very hard to create something. This is my art form, the same way that, you know, you can paint something and hang on your wall. I feel like I wear my art form, but I definitely believe I'm much more than that. And even though I absolutely grateful and thankful and humble for every single thing that's come by way of my affinity to train and work out and everything, you know, under that umbrella, but you know, like many people, I have so much more to me than how much I can train and, you know, my body fat percentage. And I know some people, some extraordinarily talented people, but also some very emotionally intelligent people and some very intricate people that feel the same and that have some dope characteristics about them that not very many people know because they're being awarded and celebrated for some other things that are also important too. Sure. And so this podcast is going to be exactly that. It's just going to be having some people that I know and people that I don't know at all that are well known for some stuff, but under the surface, man, they got some mind blowing characteristics that I'm absolutely excited to share, you know?
That's love awesome. It.
Taking now, a lateral move.
Yeah, it's got to feel right. I'm a part of the social media community. I'm very happy to be there. But we all know there's tons of fraudulence and there's tons of fake things, tons of people pretending to be things they're not, tons of things pertaining to people that they are. And so my due diligence, I understand I have a community of people that I influence, and I take that influence more seriously than I could even begin to tell you on this podcast. I have children that watch what I do. They watch everything I wear, watch everything I say. They watch how I move my hands when I talk. They watched everything. And so understanding that, I understand the nature and the importance of being influential. And so if I'm going to stand behind something or even create anything on any platform, it's going to be authentic. And I feel like this podcast is going to be the perfect opportunity to display that.
Can't wait, brother.
Love it.
I know you're in the process of enjoying the climb, but just kind of trying to project forward as much as you can. What does the top of that mountain look like for Anthony Woods down the road? If you had to make an educated guess based on what you know about yourself and the direction your life's headed in, what's that legacy going to be?
Man.
Doing some soul searching on this podcast.
I appreciate it, man. Never a bad time for that. I'm addicted to just being like a good light, you know. This podcast, I have a feeling is going to be pretty dope. You know, I have a really good feeling about it. I've been doing a ton of diving psychologically inside of myself and doing a lot of reading, doing a lot of journaling. I might have a project that might be coming to light pretty soon surrounding that idea. I'm at the point in my life, dude, where it's about how many people I can help and how many people I can touch in the positive ways. That's my currency right now.
Okay, but I'm gonna dig that a little bit deeper there. So, what does that look like though? Because yeah, we know you're gonna influence people, but is it gonna continue to be in the fitness world? Are you gonna potentially step aside and completely do a podcast or a nonprofit? Like what?
All the above. I truly understand the nature of like how important bodybuilding and training is to me. Not necessarily competitive, but just training. I'll always do that as long as I can. Super excited to step aside from training and bodybuilding and get into something else. Absolutely. I'm not in any way tied to the idea of Ant Woods is a bodybuilder. I'm absolutely not. I do so much more than that.
You're writing a book, aren't you? That's what's going on right now.
I would absolutely like to. I have somebody in my ear that's been trying to get me to do it, and I think I might. But
you got good thoughts. You ride already. You're very introspective. I mean, I think that'd be a good move, bro.
I appreciate that endorsement, man. I'm going to take that extraordinarily serious. I like that. I appreciate you, dude. Your opinion is important to me.
I appreciate that, man. It's because every time I look at you, it makes me want to hit the gym. So, you know.
I makes you want to hit the gym. Let's do it, man. Let's go.
Well, it's a funny story, if I may share. So the last time I actually did train with you, I had injured my shoulder playing basketball because I was trying to do those like trick layups you see on Instagram now, like, you know, with T-Jazz and whatnot. So I was practicing those, messed my shoulder up. So it was in pain. The next day was supposed to be my very first boxing lesson that I had signed up for, and I was not about to miss that. So I'm like, all right, I know my shoulder's messed up, but I'm not going to miss this boxing training session because I've been wanting to do this. So I go in there, I box, screw up my shoulder even worse. The following day is when Anthony Woods comes to town, and EJ's like, yo, bro, we're about to go work out. Let's hit the gym. I'm like, I can't say no to a workout session with Ant Woods. Bet, let's get it. We get there. And I'm like, great, so what are we working out? And this dude is like, shoulders? I'm like, fuck.
Shoulders every day.
So I still remember, I'm doing a press, and my shoulder's dying, but you come and like spot me and help me up. And I'm like, bro, I can't do this right now.
Got you.
You got me. Yeah, yeah. But my shoulder was hurt for like a month after that. But we good now, though.
Did you die?
But did I die? I did not. I think one of my shoulders is lower than the other shoulder now. But it's all right. We'll figure that out, you know?
Sweet. That ain't nothing.
Ain't nothing. Got surgery for that. And Woods, bro, we are coming up on the hour here. This flew by, man. I mean, we definitely going to have to get you back or hop on your pod, man, because it sounds
Please.
Good little project going there. But before we wrap up, we always like to hit you with a few rapid fire questions that Dustin always has prepared. And then we have our final question that we'll leave you with. So you got
this
prepared.
Is this a child friendly show? I might slip and say a cuss word or something, man. I'm going to give you a warning.
Oh, you're good. We got the check mark in there. So going throughout this podcast, I'd say if I was to say one word that kind of defined you would be selfless. I mean, I think in almost everything that you do, you have an element of selflessness. Is, you know, you approach the other person, you always think of the other person across from you and the experience that they're going to have. And I think that's resulted in a lot of your success and where you're at today. Could you form that, let's say, in a roadmap? Because, you know, that doesn't come naturally to a lot of people. It's a learned trait, you know. It's in society, it's not something that's generally a norm.
How do you help people become less selfish assholes? That's
Oh, no.
There you go. I was kind of circling around that.
I'll be honest with you. I had a job where I worked with people that were coming out of prison and getting out of jail, and I was the middleman between them and their parole agent or their probation officer. And so I was meeting people that were kicking drugs and just did a stint in county, or a guy that thought he was going to do life and got on parole, and he's here and he's trying to figure out how to reacclimate himself. He's been locked up since 1991, everywhere in between. And so I met people that were convicted sex offenders, murderers, do everything you can think of, commercial robbery, car theft, everything. I got a chance to understand people, and I realized that I can't judge, because I started meeting people and getting to know who they were before I learned their offense and learned their charges. And I personally just have a difficult time judging someone, but I understand circumstance. So when I meet someone, I recognize that anybody could be going through something. Everybody's going through something right now. Everybody's dealing with something crazy right now, whether they have it on their face, whether they've got gold on, or whether they have a Lamborghini. Everybody's going through something. For me, That's what I remember. When my waitress slams my cup on my counter, or when the person behind me is honking at me in my car, I just remember, dude, everybody's going through something crazy. If I snap, like, that's not going to make anything better for anyone. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going, and I give everyone the benefit of the doubt. And that personally, not to say that it's always easy, but that's what kind of gets me going.
I like it. I like that background. And then obviously, I mean, physique, and three-time Olympian. I mean, you've killed it. You've trained probably countless individuals, either online or in person. Generally, I see a lot of people try and go full throttle and burn themselves out. I mean, what would be, let's say, somebody looking to either bring back their body that they once had, or improve on the body that they do have so that they don't burn themselves out? What would be a kind of a starter to build that habit you would recommend?
First, depending on your goal, figure out what you like to do. The gym, lifting a dumbbell, or pulling a piece of metal to your face by a cable isn't always the very best thing for everyone. And what some people used to do when they were in their 20s and in high school isn't always feasible and possible later on in life, right? So I would just say, before you even begin to move, just figure out what you enjoy, what you truly enjoy doing. You're far greater likely to do that more often. And then Listen to your body. Humble yourself, understand that.
Yeah, Eugene.
Yeah, humble yourself. You're gonna feel great on the first one, the first day. On the third day, everybody knows, on that third day, reality sets in and your ass will feel it. So like I said, just figure out what you truly enjoy. If it's jump rope, go jump rope. If it's rollerblading, Big Five's got them. Figure out what you wanna do, what makes you happy, what you're gonna be excited to go and do, and then go and do that. But also just humble yourself and take it easy.
Awesome. One last before we get to our final question is, I mean, you've taken a very, like, I get to a very positive outlook on almost every obstacle or everything that you've overcome. I feel, what are some obstacles that you've overcome to get to kind of where you are at today, to reach that, you know, Olympia level? And also, let's say, because it is such a big part of where you're at today, your mental fortitude and where you're at mentally.
Ooh, some of the obstacles.
Yeah.
Whew, geez, so many obstacles. Mentally, it's been understanding myself. And I say that in a really vague way, but I'll say recognizing what my voice is and separating my voice from the voices around me. If that makes any sense, it's a really serious obstacle. I'm still working through it. I'm working through it every day. It's one of the reasons why I journal and meditate. But as being an influencer, I think we're all influenced. We're constantly influenced by things. We're influenced by things since the day we're born. Our parents influence us, right? And so being completely open and vulnerable with you guys, I don't always have the best confidence. I don't always speak to myself in the best ways. I'm not always the best person up here. And so the obstacle for me is recognizing what needs to happen for me to separate the voices around me or the noise around me, the static, the traffic around me. And so I can hear who Anthony hear what Anthony wants to say and what's really best for Anthony and how to treat Anthony the best. And that's been a serious obstacle, but not one that's undoable, but not one unachievable. It's something that I had to make a priority. I take care of it first thing in the day. And it's something I consciously remind myself always.
I love it. Bro, your podcast is about to be fire. I can't wait for this shit to drop.
Man, I appreciate that, dude. That means a lot, dude.
When's the tentative drop date?
Yeah, about a week or two, man. I don't want to say it wrong because I'm bad with numbers and I'm bad with dates. Chase Tuning, I love you guys. Everybody in the Operation Podcast, you guys are amazing. But yeah, man, it's pretty soon. I'm super stoked.
Sometime within the month of November.
Absolutely.
We be sure to let us know, man, so we can shout you out on the pod. Let you go, hey, Woody with a hoodie, we got our last question for you, brother. The one we leave every episode with, the one that I think you're going to drop some heat on. We are the Dedication to Excellence podcast. So in your words, Mr. Anthony Woods, what does it mean to live a life dedicated to excellence?
What does it mean to live a life dedicated to excellence? So that's a very loaded question. I think first and foremost, it means being open to learning, right? I think once you think you know everything, that very moment you officially know absolutely nothing. And so I think being open to learning and being open to being exposed to things that you're not aware of is your first step. Figuring out what fulfills you, recognizing the difference between happiness and fulfillment. I know a lot of people who are happy that, you know, are depressed at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so figuring out what fulfills you. I think an important thing is to figure out what the world around you needs. I think every human being is thirsty for purpose. I think the first step to understanding purpose is understanding what people around you are necessarily needing from you. Therefore, you can provide a purpose, your best self. Gotta take care of yourself. So I think combining those things, figuring out a way to take care of the people around you, feed your family, earn some money, not straying away from your moral compass, doing the things that you can sleep at night, knowing you're doing the right thing, wake up in the morning, look yourself in the face and be able to stare at yourself and know you're doing the right thing. All of those things I think are key ingredients to living a life dedicated to excellence. Your version of excellence. I think a lot of people, I hear and I feel that a lot of people have a blurry line between success and having monetary gain, being rich and that being successful. I think there are a lot of very rich people that aren't successful at all. I think there are some people that have no money, two nickels rubbed together, but their family loves them. Their kids love them. They're sharing love and giving love at all times. And they're extraordinarily successful. So I think understanding the difference between success and having lots of money, truly being happy, I think you'll be living a life of dedicated excellence.
Love it. And we can go ahead and leave it right there, folks. We got an Olympian / psychologist / life coach in the building, Anthony Woods. Where can they find you, brother? How can they follow the journey?
Man, I'm not the best at everything, but I'm going ham on Instagram at @ant_woods. That's @AntWoods. Tap in, man. Hope to hear from you guys. I'm a nice guy. I'm a little big sometimes, but I promise I'm nice. All right.
And use his discount codes to order Lift Fit apparel because I've definitely
save some money, man. Let me help you save some money.
Exactly. I've definitely used that code many times and I will use it many more times until I am a Lift Fit athlete. I'm going to keep speaking that into existence. Well, yeah. Hey, Woods, thank you so much for being on the pod. On behalf of Dustin and myself, we appreciate you and appreciate everyone who's been continuing to listen. Show love. We are flying up the charts, folks. So keep leaving the reviews. keep subscribing. We put in up some numbers that we have. We launched on October 27th, so it hasn't even been, it's been 3 weeks. So the love has just been absolutely appreciated. Y'all keep it coming. And with that, we will catch you all in the next episode. Tell a friend about it, and y'all stay blessed. Peace.